right, what a blessing. Let's go to Ezekiel chapter 37, if you would. Ezekiel chapter 37 tonight. You know, just talking to Brother Suttmeyer and hearing what God's doing there, and we've invested in 22 years, the 20 years they've been there. What do you think about investing another 1,000 to help them in that building program? All right. Yep. And everybody, all of you in favor, raise your hand. All right. You're in favor of doing it? Okay. All right. Amen. Anybody opposed? I'll give you a chance to vote against it. Any of you personally want to add another 1,000? I'll give you a chance, you know. I just thought I'd ask. All right. Well, brother, we'll get that to you. All right. We'll do that. We'll talk about how you want it done after service. All right, Ezekiel chapter 37. Ezekiel chapter 37. I've been preaching for a lot this year on some of the great questions in the Bible. Want to look at another one of those tonight. Verse 1, the Bible said, "The hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley which was full of bones. And caused me to pass by them round about, and behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. Again he said unto me, Prophesy upon these bones, and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, Behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live." Notice the question, can these bones live? Can these bones live? You know, this, by the way, if you've ever heard the song, them bones, them dry bones, now hear the word of the Lord, you know, the foot bone connected to, well, it comes from this. That's where the idea came from, all right? But, you know, if you want to look at one of the greatest testimonies to the accuracy and the infallibility of the Bible, what you do is you turn to the Jew. You just take a look at the Jewish people and the nation of Israel. What God has done with them and what the Bible says about it is proof that only God could have done it and only God could have known it would work out the way it has. And we'll kind of talk about that a little bit tonight. But also, you know, if you want to study racism and race hatred, you really want to study racism and race hatred, then you need to examine the history of the Jewish people. The hatred and the racism exemplified to the Jewish people is almost beyond belief. We look at people and everybody, you know, we're seeing so many things going on in our country tonight, and I have been for weeks now, about racism and all of that. I'll be honest with you, I don't think any of it compares to what's done to the Jewish nation. And if you want to see evidence of it, go to New York City and sit in for a while on the United Nations, because the United Nations as a whole despise the nation of Israel. Absolutely despise that nation and have voted against them repeatedly. And I believe with all my heart there's nothing they'd like to see more so than the elimination of that nature, that whole nation, because hatred for the Jewish people, what's known as anti-Semitism today, has been around literally for thousands of years. Thousands of years. Hey, it didn't start with Hitler. It didn't start with Nazi Germany. A lot of people look at that and they think, well, that's where it is. Oh, no. No, no, no. The problem faced, you know, by the Jewish people has been for centuries and centuries. And it's not just one country. It's multiple countries, what has been done to them and the hatred shown to them. And it's amazing how many times the Jewish people have been ran out of countries over the years, all right, just hated. And the problem, though, faced by the Jew hater, is that God happens to love them. God happens to love them. And, hey, you can like it, lump it, dump it. I don't care, whatever you want to do. But the nation of Israel and the Jewish people are God's chosen people. And you might say, well, preacher, does that bother you? Oh, man, no. Not a bit. Because, you see, we Gentiles got grafted in way back yonder. And the Jewish Savior loved me enough to die for me. And you're looking at one very happy camper because of it, all right? I'm not mad at what he's done and rejoice in the fact that our God, he just decided that this is his chosen people. And, the truth of the matter is, what I'm going to speak about tonight, the ramifications of it go on. We could be here for hours, but relax, we're not going to be, all right? Not going to be tonight. But I'm reminded and just want to bring you along a little bit. Back in 70 A.D., y'all remember that, right? Back in 70 A.D., the Roman general Titus led the Roman army against the city of Jerusalem. He laid siege to the city, and ultimately the city was destroyed. I mean, it was moved in, and then for 100 years after that, the whole region around that area was renamed, and everything was done to remove any kind of possible association with Israel and the Jewish people. You even find folks today that want to argue that they weren't there first, and they want to argue against the establishment of the nation of Israel. But hey, they were there, but they were eradicated, and for the next 18 centuries, the Jewish people were scattered all over the world, just scattered all across the world. They were persecuted pretty much everywhere they went. The truth of the matter is, this country right here, I believe, has been one of the reasons God's had his hand on us, is by and large, this country has not persecuted the Jews. We've not persecuted the Jewish people at all. But basically, by and large, around the world, hey, listen, it's a known fact, and people get excited, and there's jokes made, and I'm not going to do that. But the truth of the matter is, God blessed the Jewish people with the ability to make money. I mean, he blessed them with the ability to be successful. And what's happened down through centuries, they would be successful. They would work, and they would be blessed and build up, even fortunes. And other people in the country look at them and not like it, and so we want to take what they've got, and they'd take what they've got and throw the Jewish people out. And that's going on down through the centuries. And you can take it, you can study history, and it's there in many, many places. But God loved them, all right? But it's all of that fact that for 18 centuries or more, the Jewish people scattered all across the world, yet they were able to maintain their identity as a people. And that is the amazing thing. But it's what makes the prophecy here in Ezekiel 37 such an exciting prophecy, all right? God was saying, and he used Ezekiel to say, listen, I'm going to take those dead, dry bones, that nation, those people that are scattered out, and he said, I'm going to restore them as a people. He said, preacher, how do you know he's talking about Israel? Well, look in verse 11. You're there in Ezekiel 37. Verse 11, then he said to me, son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. So if you have trouble figuring that out, all right, I think it's pretty plain. These bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say our bones are dried and our hope is lost. We're cut off for our parts. Therefore prophesy and say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, behold, O my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come up out of your graves and bring you into the land of Israel. Into the land of Israel. That's that place over yonder that's on the eastern end of the Mediterranean Sea, all right? That's where that country is located. Now, God said this was going to take place. If you have a Scofield Bible, and I know some of you do, and if you don't, it's all right. But right above chapter 37 in a Scofield Bible, it says the general theme of this part of the book of Ezekiel is the restoration of Israel, the Davidic kingdom and judgment on the nations. I just want to point that out just so you'll understand these Scofield notes. And by the way, if you have a Scofield Bible, don't live and die with his notes, all right? I'm not stamping my approval on all the notes in the Scofield Bible. But what I do want you to notice is they were written originally in 1909, all right? So Scofield was saying that God's going to restore the nation of Israel. God's going to restore the nation of Israel. Now, in 1948, that happened. In 1948, the nation of Israel, if you will, was born in a day. I mean, it hadn't been one for centuries, and on that day, the nation of Israel came into being. And immediately it was attacked. It was attacked from all sides. And boy, it was close there. But obviously, they came out on the winning side. But let me just give you a few statistics, all right, to help you understand some things. In 1948, there were 120,000 Jews in Egypt. 120,000. As of 217, 18 elderly Jews remained. From 120,000... 18. The big synagogue that was in Cairo, still there, but it's basically empty today. In 1948, there were 150,000 Jews in Iraq. As of 2016, there were 10. So from 150,000 to 10. All right. In 1948, there were 265,000 Jews in Morocco. As of 2017, there were 2,000. All right? In 1948, there were 105,000 Jews in Tunisia. In 2017, there were 1,700. There were, in 48, there were 40,000 Jews in Syria. As of 2018, there were 100 left there. In 1948, there were 38,000 Jews in Libya. As of 2017, there were none. In 1948, there were 140,000 Jews in Algeria. As of 2018, there were 50. In 1994, the last remaining synagogue there was completely abandoned. In 1948, there were 55,000 Jews in Yemen. And as of 2018, there were 50. In 1979, there were 100,000 Jews in Iran. Today, there are fewer than 10,000. Now, listen, you say, well, what happened to them? They moved. They moved. All right? Man, you talk about a major sign of the times. People, we who believe the Bible, we who believe the Lord is returning, we look at this and we think about what God's done, and we knew from the Scripture that the Lord was not going to come back until the Jews were back in the land of Israel. Well, they're back in the land of Israel today, all right? The truth of the matter is the Jews that moved did not move because they really wanted to. They were forced out. They were absolutely forced out by persecution, by oppression, by violence, by robbery. Now, they, I don't believe, knew what was happening, but God did. God did. He knew that land was going to open up, and I told you this morning I've been reading a biography of Winston Churchill, and in reading through that biography, they deal with the Balfour Declaration, which was done back in 1917, and that was to give the Jewish people a homeland again. And then they began to weasel out of that agreement, and boy, in dealing with it, listening to everything, what we don't understand when Hitler took over in Nazi Germany, we know what happened. We know what happened. What is called the final solution. And that was to exterminate the Jewish people. But in reading and studying just recently, I've come across and read where the idea Hitler necessarily, when he started, his desire, his goal wasn't so much to kill them all. He just wanted them out of Germany. He wanted them out of Germany. But guess what? no other country would take them. Those that wanted to go to what we now know as the land of Israel, they wanted to go and were willing to go there, but they were opposed, and even a great number got on a ship and headed there, and they wouldn't let them land, wouldn't let them come ashore. So what wound up happening to those Jews that Hitler couldn't get rid of, his solution was, well, we'll just kill them all. And about 6 million or so were killed. They were gassed to death. They were starved to death. And they died in Nazi concentration camps. But it's because the world didn't want anything to do with them. But God still had a plan, folks. God still had a plan. And his plan was, hey, I'm going to put them out and put them back into that land, and I'm going to fulfill the prophecy of Ezekiel chapter 37. They're going back to their land. They will be in that land. And you say, well, preacher, what in the world has all that got to do with us? Just a few things, all right? First of all, this, God is going to work out his plan in his time. God's going to work out his plan in his time. Friend, I'll be honest with you. I believe God has a plan for every one of us. I believe it with all that's within me. I believe he calls people to serve him. Some people surrender willingly. Some people are pushed into it. And some people, God has to beat them up to get them to surrender. Now, I don't understand that. Man, when God called me, I was standing there saying, would you choose me? I would like to volunteer, all right? I want to serve you because of what he had done for me. But, man, so many people, listen, God's going to work out his plan. Now, you can agree with that plan and things will go smoother. Or you can fight it. You can fight it. Now, I just want to tell you ahead of time, you're not going to win. You're not going to win. But you can fight God if you want to about his plan for you. But God has a plan for you. But if you'll give in to that plan, you'll surrender that plan, and let him work out his plan and his will in your life, you'll be amazed. Or you can fight him. And you'll get beaten up and worked over and bruised and battered, but he's still going to work out his plan. It's just that simple. And he's got that plan. All that he has prophesied in the Word of God is going to come to pass. Everything that he's prophesied. Hey, it was no problem for God to restore his people to their land after centuries of time. I've said a lot of them didn't want to go. They were very happy where they were. So God just turned the situation around in that country and made them willing to go. Made them willing to leave. And, time doesn't affect prophecy. God works it out. God's got all the time there is, all right? And he's not constrained the way we are with time, all right? He preserved the Jewish people through the centuries. He kept their identity. He presented the land to them after centuries of time. Now, there's a group today that would love to take that land away from them. Man, they'd like to take it away from them. They're surrounded by enemies. Surrounded by enemies. I remember years ago when George Bush had hit that plan of, wanted to talk about land for peace. And, we organized, and Dr. Vineyard was a big part of it. We went down to Crockett day there, and I've still got my cap that says Israel is for the Jews, all right? And it is. It belongs to them. It belongs to them. Hey, by the way, they've got the title to a whole lot more than they occupy right now, all right? Got the title to a whole lot more than they occupy, and that time is coming, and it will take place. But I want you to notice chapter 37, would you look, all right? Ezekiel chapter 37, would you look at verse 8 with me? Here we are. And when I beheld, lo, the sinews and the flesh came up upon them, and the skin covered them above, but there was no breath in them. Folks, this is what we have today. That's the fulfillment of the prophecy as according to what it says there in verse 8. The people are there, the nation is there, and as the Bible says, those bones have been collected together, and the sinews, the flesh is upon them, skin's covered them, but there's no breath in them. You say, what are you talking about? What we have today is the physical return of the people but they're in a spiritually dead condition. Spiritually dead condition. I've got a book in my library written, and the fellow that wrote that book, he has so many quotations in there from modern Jewish leaders in modern times, Golda Meir and Benjamin Yahoo and a multitude of others. And what they're saying is, hey, we're not establishing anything to do with a spiritual group. It's just about our physical identity. And they deny in many cases that there even is a God, all right, and not involved. They're not a spiritual people in the sense that we would think of. They're just simply in the land, and they're dead, completely dead spiritually. But that's not the end of the prophecy, all right? That is not the end of what the Bible gives us. Take your Bible with me. Let's go to Zechariah chapter 12. Zechariah chapter 12. Just for a minute tonight, all right? Zechariah chapter 12. We see these words in Zechariah chapter 12, beginning in verse 10. Now, if you got a Scofield Bible, we're on page 977, all right? But if not, you got to figure find it yourself, all right? Zechariah chapter 12, look at verse 10. Zechariah chapter 12, verse 10. While you're turning there, you may think, preacher, why do you have a Scofield Bible? Well, number one, because my dad did. And I got one the first time when I was 10 years old. And I've got familiar with it. And so because I'm familiar with it, I stick with it, all right? And now I admit to you, most of the notes I haven't even read. All right? Haven't even read. But it works for me. And so there in verse 10, notice, and I will pour upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and of supplications, and they shall look upon me whom they have pierced, and they shall mourn for him as one mourneth for his only son, and shall be in bitterness for him as one that is in bitterness for his firstborn. In that day shall there be a great mourning in Jerusalem as the mourning of Hadrodrimmon in the valley of Migdon, and the land shall mourn every family apart, the family of the house of David apart, and their wives apart, the family of the house of Nathan apart, and their wives apart, the family of the house of Levi apart, and their wives apart, the family of Shimei apart, and their wives apart, all the families that remain, every family apart, and their wives apart. Hey, they're going to do that. Look upon him whom they fear. That hasn't taken place yet. That has not occurred yet. Go with me back to Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 24. Jeremiah's in front of Ezekiel, all right? Jeremiah chapter 24, if you would. And just notice what the scripture says, beginning in verse 4, if you would. Jeremiah chapter 24, beginning in verse 4. The Bible says this, "Again the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Thus saith the Lord, the God of Israel, like these good figs, so will I acknowledge them that are carried away captive of Judah, whom I have sent out of this place into the land of the Chaldeans for their good. And I will set mine eyes upon them for good, and I will bring them again to this land, and I will build them and not pull them down, and I will plant them and not pluck them up, and I will give them an heart to know me, that I am the Lord, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God, for they shall return unto me with their whole heart." Go over to chapter 30 in Jeremiah. Chapter 30 in Jeremiah, if you would. Notice down in verse 10. Jeremiah chapter 30, verse 10. The Bible says, "Therefore fear thou not, O my servant Jacob, saith the Lord. Neither be dismayed, O Israel, for lo, I will save thee from afar, and thy seed from the land of their captivity. And Jacob shall return, and shall be in rest, and be quiet, and none shall make him afraid." Hey, it's sure not like that now, is it? It's not a land of rest and quiet at all. Verse 11, "For I am with thee, saith the Lord, to save thee. Though I make a full end of all nations, whether I have scattered thee, yet will I not make a full end of thee. But I will correct thee in measure and will not leave thee altogether unpunished." The Lord says, hey, I'm still dealing with you. Still dealing with you. There is a group in our time and a band of knowledge that says God's done with Israel. Don't you believe it? Don't you believe it? Hey, those people are in that land tonight. They're in that land spiritually blind. Spiritually blind. They don't see their need. They don't see their nakedness. But God said one of these days they're going to return unto me with their whole heart. First stage, get them in the land. They're there. They're there. And he says, I'm going to convert them. Now, they're there. They're dead spiritually. You said, well, when are they going to be converted? I believe with all my heart they're going to be converted in what's known as the 70th week of Daniel's prophecy. I believe all of those 70 weeks, I believe 69 of those weeks are fulfilled. But we're in now a slot between the 69th and the 70th week. And the grace of God is available to everybody and to all that'll come to him by faith and trust him. But there's coming a time that the Bible refers to as Daniel's 70th week. And we know it more so as the week or the 7 years of tribulation. It's going to come upon the face of this earth. Say, when's that going to take place? After the Lord returns for his saints. After you and I are called out of here. Now, there is a body of folks today that believe the church is going through at least part of the tribulation. My comment is, enjoy it if you want to stay and ask God to leave you here. I'm listening for the trumpet of God to sound. I believe in the imminent return of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the song we sing, it could happen in a moment. It could happen in a moment. The trump of God sound. The dead in Christ will rise first, and we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Hey, that's the event I'm looking forward to. But that event's going to be followed by 7 years of tribulation. And during that 7 years of tribulation, the Antichrist is going to make an agreement with the people of Israel. The temple is going to be rebuilt in Jerusalem. And it hasn't been rebuilt, but if you check it out and you study, you'll find there's Jewish people that are collecting the materials to build that temple. A lot of it's been collected. They're working to rebuild it so they'd be able, and working to be able to restore the temple worship, the sacrifices in that temple. And man, we don't have time to go through all of that tonight, but the Lord says that time's coming. The Bible says that time is coming, and the Bible tells us that during that time, the Antichrist will make that treaty, if you will, with Israel. But in the middle of the tribulation period, he's going to break it. And the Bible then says there'll be great tribulation. And boy, he's going to turn on the Jewish people, and he's going to do what they've been trying to do down through the centuries. Hitler tried to do it. Others have tried to do it. They're going to try to eradicate the Jewish people. But when they do, they're going to find the Lord's going to fight for them. And the Bible tells us during that time, the nation is going to be converted. They're going to turn to God with their whole heart. Whole heart. That nation will be restored. Not only will there be sinews and flesh and skin on those bones, but that life will be breathed back into them. All right? That day is going to come. I just want to say to you that groundwork's already been laid. Nothing. You say, what's got to happen between now and then? Nothing. Nothing. There's nothing that needs to take place before the trumpet of God shall sound. Everything is done. Everything is prepared. Man, look, I believe it. You can lift up your eyes. You ought to look up because your redemption draweth nigh. And, hey, we're talking about the redemption of your body. The redemption of your body. I mentioned to you this morning in preaching, you get older, and these old bodies, they age. And those of you that are older, you understand that. You understand what it is to live in a body that's aging. You don't hop out and do what you used to do. You don't feel the way you used to feel. You're not able to do. I remember my dad telling my brother and I, he said, man, I'm useless. And he said, I can't do anything. I'm good. I said, wait a minute, Dad. You can do a lot. You just can't do what you used to could do, all right? But that's true with a lot of us, all right? But wait a minute. It's not me. Hey, I've been redeemed. But what I'm waiting on is redemption of the body. And the Bible said we'll have a new body. Be like his body. Sinless. Perfect. Perfect. And it's only a dream to think about a body that never have another pain, right? Never have any more. I look at it, never have another stinking kidney stone, all right? Hallelujah. I'm looking forward to that. Hey, but everything's there. So what should you do? You ought to prepare to meet God. You ought to prepare to meet God. And I just, you know, he's coming back. Question is, are you ready? Are you ready? Now, when I asked that question, what popped into your mind? Did you think, amen, even so come, Lord Jesus? Or did you think, I need to do this. I need to do that. Hey, are you ready? I believe what I'm saying to you. I believe the Lord would come back in a heartbeat. Before we even could dismiss and go home. I believe, yeah, it could be tonight. I don't know. The question is, are we ready? Now, I want to put it to you this way as a child of God. Who do you know that is not saved? And what are you doing to reach them? What are you doing to reach them? I mean, they're lost. You say, well, my hands are tied, there's nothing I can do. How hard are you asking God to save them? The Bible said you have not because you ask not. I believe this. I believe there's some folks that are not saved that I know, and they will not let me talk to them. But I can still pray God send somebody else that they could talk to them. But how hard are we working to take care of that? How hard are we working to take care of that? Look, I know. I know what life is like. I know how easy it is to get tied up in the busyness of this world and just doing the things that you have to do. Oh, but my friend, I want to tell you, eternity is going to be a long, long time. What are we doing? Are we doing what we should be doing? Are we doing what we should be doing? Are we taking advantage of the opportunities God gives us? Are we really giving of ourselves the way we should? Are we just kind of easing along? Are you ready? Are you ready? He's coming. He's coming. I look at that nation over there and I see the hatred for them. But every time something rises up, and I've got several books that I've read about when they became a nation in 1948. I've got a book about the Six-Day War in 1967. Boy, those books, you read them and you think, I was reading a book on the 48 when they became a nation, and honestly, is one of those books, the more I read, I thought, is that nation really there now? Because it sure did look like they were going to be destroyed. But God had his hand on them. That nation's there tonight, and they're not going to be eradicated. Not going to happen. But it's there because it fits into God's plan. Are you ready for the Lord to come? Heavenly Father, help us tonight. Lord, help us see the truth of the Scripture that we might understand that really for us, time is short. Time is short. You've told us you're going to come back. You've promised us you'd return. You've said these things are going to have to be done before I come. And Lord, they're already accomplished. They've been done. Lord, we're just waiting for your appearance. But Lord, help us not to just sit and wait, but to labor as we look forward to your soon return. Help us, Lord, to give of ourselves, to pray, to work, to labor. And, Lord, do everything we can to reach our loved ones, our friends, reach folks around us with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Lord, how sad it would be for us to show up in heaven and the Lord come to us and said, listen, I gave you the resources to give to me, and you kept them. You kept it. Lord, would you deal with us tonight? I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you stand, if you would, as we sing the invitation hymn, Listen, for God's dealt with you. I hope you see your need. I hope you see the need of the hour. God's people to do everything we can to reach people with the gospel. You got friends. You got lost loved ones. How often do you pray for them? You got people you know that are lost. How much time do you spend in prayer, God, to save them? Do you try to witness to them? As we sing the invitation tonight, would you come while we sing?
Just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God.
Next verse, would you?